It is good to see everyone here today. Just welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those who are worshiping via the live stream. We are here to praise and worship God this morning. We have been so blessed to be freely able to come and worship God and praise Him openly and not have to hide who our God truly is. Isaiah 25:1, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. Just praise God wholeheartedly this morning, expressing what he means to you and what he has done for you and how he has carried you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the freedom that we have to gather and praise your holy name. There is none like you, God. Thank you for giving us Jesus and your Spirit to lead and guide us. All of our praise and worship we offer to you. You are our Lord and our God. Open our ears to hear your words and our eyes to see you at work every day. Fill us to full and overflowing with your Spirit. Soften our hearts daily to follow you. Draw us near to you. And just fill this place with your presence, Lord. Remove anything that is not from you. I just pray that you would move among us this morning and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
This week I was reflecting on the 4th of July and Independence Day, and it's always interesting when you meet people from other countries. Their 4th of July doesn't mean so much to them. They have a different day that they received independence. But it's the freedoms that we have because of a choice to be independent, and then we have a responsibility to choose to stay independent. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were free to choose. And some of their choices were not helpful, just like it can be for us today. But I was reflecting this week over pastors in my life, various ones that have been influential in moving my heart toward God. And just through high points in my life and crises. So, you know, just list a couple of those. Just accepting Jesus for the very first time when a pastor gave an altar call and I went forward. During a baptism, training in righteousness, when we made marriage vows, there was pastors involved in our wedding, the dedication of our children, when loved ones passed on, and just for daily strength through the difficulties in life when family members in the hospital and such. So I just wanted to acknowledge the value of men of God who step up and inspire all of us to realize that it's not the temporary earth that we live on that matters, but there's something beyond that. So I've lived in the goodness of God. Just invite you to stand.
I will.
the ushers to come forward and receive our offerings. This is for our pastor support. There's also a mic on this count for the children.
Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day that we can come to worship your name, to worship you in spirit and truth. And we just pray that our time here this morning, that we can open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings to us. We give back but a portion of it to you for the support of the church, the pastor, and all that the needs in our community that we have helped to share and to meet. Just lift up Pastor Tony as he brings us our messages today, that we know that we are made to serve. You have called us to serve. Encourage us, guide us, and direct us in how you want us to do so. We thank you again for all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
So the world we live in, tries to get people to serve, get people to serve us. And the next two songs we're going to sing is about choosing to serve God.
In Exodus 21, God gives instructions to his people about servants and about them becoming free. Verse 5 says, "If the servant declares that I love my master, my wife and children, and I do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life." This next song is based on that principle that God gave to them.
Thank you. The next song we're going to sing is entitled Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. And it is, it's a special song to me. It reminds me of sitting in a dialysis chair in Mexico. And one of the things that I did while sitting there for hours on end was listening to either the Bible or a sermon or music that was like this. And I want to read verse 2, which was especially meaningful during that time. The night is dark, but I'm not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me, through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. So during times of, especially during times of suffering, and times maybe I want to give up, words like this are just encouraging that, yeah, I might want to give up, but Christ is in me, and he is working. He is working for my good and for his glory. Really, all the words of the song are just, they're based on scripture, and they're very incredible. So sing along with us.
To this side.
choose the God of the creation of the universe.
Come.
Saying we want to serve you forever, and we just honor you this day for the independence and freedom that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. We're going to sit over here this time, guys. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good? Well, you don't seem like you have very much energy. Don't worry, it'll come out in about 5 minutes, right? So, how many of you have ever gone to a restaurant to eat food? You never went to a restaurant in your entire life?
I've gone.
You've gone to a restaurant, okay.
I've gone there, but I've never seen that menu.
Well, you've never seen that menu. Well, that's just an example. So, you go to a restaurant, and you look at the menu, and you pick out what you want to eat, right? Then your waiter or waitress, they come over to your table, and they take your order. And you tell them what you want. You want chicken nuggets and french fries. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Would you like to eat chicken nuggets and french fries?
Yeah.
Yeah? After that, with ketchup? After that, your waiter or your waitress, they take your order, and they go back to the kitchen, and the cooks prepare your food, and then your waiter or waitress, they bring out your food, and you guys are like, I'm really hungry. And while you're waiting, you're just sitting there quiet, not saying anything. Yeah, that's not true, is it? You guys bounce off the walls and like color on everything and make all kinds of noise, right? So they bring your food out, and you're like, oh, I'm so hungry for chicken nuggets and french fries. That's all you really want. And you get Brussels sprouts and squid. Whoa. It's the wrong order. So what are you going to do if you have the wrong food? Maybe it's cold. I don't like cold food. So what can you do? Well, you can tell your waitress, see these kids, you think they're frustrated because their food is not right? I think I might have a face like that if my food was wrong too, especially if I was really hungry for something and got something totally opposite. So maybe you could yell at your waiter or waitress or complain to the manager, or you could go online and give them a bad review. Maybe you could just eat the food anyway. But listen to these Bible verses. Maybe we can get an answer that will help us to know what to do. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So we could be kind to our waiter or waitress instead of leaving a small tip like that guy got. We could maybe leave them an extra big tip, even though they messed up. We could be extra kind to them. Or we could be like Kazen Hunter did. His family used to love to go to the Waffle House every weekend, and they would sit in this certain waiter's section because he was a lot of fun. And they learned that he had to walk to work every day. So this young man, he decided, I am going to try to raise money for this guy to have a car. He set his goal at $5,000. Do you know how much money he raised? He put it online, and people donated. He raised $71,539 to help his waiter to buy a car and pay for his bills, because he was kicked out of the house he lived in, and he had two children to take care of. So how we treat people shows people that we have Jesus in our heart. If we're kind to people, even when they mess up, because everybody makes mistakes, everybody messes up. Jesus was the only perfect person. So we should be kind to everybody. Shall we pray? And then you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Jesus, just watch over these children. Protect them. I pray that each one would come to know you as their Savior. Help them to trust in you. And I just pray that they would remember to be kind to everyone, no matter what the situation is. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys can have a snack right there in the bag and head back to your seats. Well, good morning again, and just thank you for your prayers for my family and myself. They are appreciated very much. We are going to continue our look at our design, how God has made us, how God has designed us from the beginning, and that we are designed and made in God's image. And it tells us that in Genesis 1:27. And we are designed to serve, designed for service is what we're going to look at today. I touched on this a little bit a few weeks ago during Father's Day when we looked at what it means to be a leader. Service is part of being a leader. And when you look at the model that Jesus has showed us, he was a servant leader. He was showing us God's upside down kingdom, that we could lead by serving. Matthew 20, verse 26 to 28. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did, not coming to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is telling his disciples and us that we need to be servants. Not for what we can gain, but for what we can give. Jesus came and gave all for us to be an example that we should follow. Service is something that all of us do, no matter what our position is in life. There is always someone over us in authority. When we submit to that authority, we become servants like Jesus was. Philippians 2, 1 to 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When it comes to service in the many forms that it takes on, whether you're slave or the highest ruler of the land, the slave serves his master. The commander serves the general and the president. He's supposed to serve the people. Our attitude about ourselves plays a large part in how we serve. Are we humble? Do we view ourselves in a humble position, or do we place ourselves on a pedestal? See, we shouldn't be on the extreme ends of that spectrum. On one end, you're boastful and full of pride, saying, look at what I did. Look at the reasons for my business to succeed. It's because of what I did. On the other extreme, you have this self-deprecating attitude where you're so critical about yourself, thinking that I am nothing, and it's affecting who you are because you're always thinking you are nothing. That's not good. We need to be in the middle, recognizing that God has placed us in the position that we are in. He has given us power and influence, and it's by His wisdom, His might, and His power at work in us, bringing honor and glory to God. And it's not me. It's God working in me. What are our goals when we serve? Is it to make us feel more important? Is it to help others? Do we serve only to receive recognition? When we go to work each day, do we focus on what we get out of it? Yeah, we get a paycheck and health benefits and vacation days, or are we focused on doing our best for our employer? And yes, going to work is service. Jesus was and is the perfect example of service. In verse 6, it tells us that Jesus, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God. And that was not to be exploited. Jesus is God and has the power of God, yet he follows the will of God, not his own. He humbled himself, honoring God above everything. Jesus uses the power of God to heal people and do miracles. That power was given to him from God through the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born and walked on this earth as a man. He stepped down from the right hand of the Father to this earth. Jesus could have done all those things in his own power that he had. But he made himself a servant to show us the way to God, the way to the Father, and how we should live. Jesus followed God's will, even when it meant going to the cross and dying. He served God in all things. The view of this world is totally opposite from that. Serve yourself. Do what pleases you. You are your own master. Get what you can. You deserve it. Get it before someone else takes it. You deserve to be praised and honored for the powerful position that you were in. We're going to look at 2 Kings 5. This is the account of Naaman being healed from a skin disease. And as we go through this, look at each character. See how they are actually being a servant. So 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. It's a long set of verses, so I encourage you to look those up and turn with me to them. That's 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a man important to his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a valiant warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." So Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore, the king of Aram said, "Go, and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel." So he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it read, "When this letter comes to you, note that I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, "Am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Recognize that he is only picking a fight with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your skin will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman got angry and he left, saying, "I was telling myself he will surely come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and left in a rage. But his servants, approaching him, and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more should you do it when he only tells you to wash and be clean?" So Naaman went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, according to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored, becoming like that of a small boy, and he was clean. The girl in this story was taken from her homeland, and she was serving a foreign master. Yet she told them about the prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman's skin disease. Naaman went and told his master, the king of Aram, about the prophet, and he wrote him letters to take to the king of Israel. The king was serving his army commander by giving him letters for safe passage to Israel. The king of Israel tore his robes because he couldn't heal anyone. He recognized that he is not God. He is not the one who can bring healing to this man. Elisha served the king of Israel by healing Naaman. Elisha sent his servant out to talk to Naaman and tell him what to do. Naaman went away angry until his servant convinced him that he should go and do this simple thing of washing in the Jordan River. And through this, Naaman comes to faith, faith in God, exclaiming that there is no other God in the entire world except in Israel. And when he went to the temple of the God of Aram with the king and had to bow down, that he was not worshiping that God. It tells us that a little later in the passage. The two kings, they don't look like they're really serving very much, but they are. They have God over them. They are serving God whether they know him or not. Whether he is their God or not, they are serving him because God has all authority over everything. And there's no difference in our world today. Maybe you're self-employed or you own a business. You're the boss. You're the person in charge. But even though you're the boss, you still serve the customer. And in a way, you serve your employees because you want what is best for them, so they work hard for you and help out the customer and do what is the best for the company. We have this saying, the customer is always right. Maybe you're an employee. You serve your boss. You serve the company. And you serve the customer. Service is something that all of us do in the world around us. God has made us this way. He has designed us to serve him above all else. And that gets lost in the world around us. First Corinthians 3, 1 to 8. For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of flesh, as babies in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, you are not worldly and behaving like mere humans. For whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not acting like mere humans? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has his role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his labor. Paul is dealing with people who are aligning themselves with the people who shared the faith with them. The people who told them about Jesus, and they came to an understanding of who Jesus was. They don't understand that Paul and Apollos, they're just workers serving God. They didn't want credit. God is the one who is supposed to receive all honor and glory and credit. God has given us a role to fulfill in his kingdom. We need to have the attitude that Paul talks about in verse 7. Be a humble servant, knowing that everything is from God. And it's to honor God for his glory. And whether we are a king or a slave, we should be honoring God in everything that we do. When sin entered this world and this world became broken, it's when this constant fighting started of the desire to serve ourselves. And there's some areas that we really need to watch out for when it comes to service and our attitudes. See, the enemy tries to get us to believe that service can earn us a way into heaven. The more things we do for people, the more good things we do, it's going to earn us a free pass to get into heaven. And that's a lie from the enemy. You can't earn your way into heaven. It only comes through faith in Jesus. Service shows what is first in our hearts. Is it Jesus or is it self? Can you serve other people and not follow Christ? Yes, you can. There's many people who do that, who serve in many ways. But your motives will be different. And when you serve with Jesus in your heart, people will see that. Christ will come flowing out of you, and there'll be a difference in how you serve because you truly love them. That love of Jesus is just going to pour out of us. We also need to watch out what our focus is. Is it on Jesus, or is it on the actual act of service? Look at this good thing I'm doing. I'm working really hard. Look at all the effort I'm putting in for others. Is it on the acts of service or serving God while we're doing it? Luke 10, 38 to 42. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but the one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken from her." In this account of Mary and Martha, when she welcomed Jesus into her house, and how many of us are like Martha? We're focused on the work of service, yet we're missing out on the important part. We especially have this issue as Lancaster County Mennonites. Got to go and work. Got to put in the effort. Got to serve in that way. And this, it definitely reminds me of my grandmother. She would work and prepare food for holidays. She would get worried that one of the food items might run out. She would prepare an abundance that could never be eaten in one sitting. And it would have seemed like a failure, you know, if you ran out of filling. That would have just been the end of the world. Isn't that what a host is supposed to do? And Martha, isn't she supposed to do that? Take care of her guests and serve her guests in that way. But as Martha was doing that, she was missing out on the important thing. Jesus was sitting there. He was serving that spiritual food. He was giving out something that could not be attained in our physical world by the way of eating or goods. Mary was receiving what Jesus was giving out. We get so focused on the physical needs when we serve that we miss out on the spiritual needs of others. We miss out on that spiritual focus. Physical needs are important, and many times filling the physical needs opens a door that we can talk about the spiritual needs. But do we open that door? Do we step through that? Do we take the time to talk about the spiritual things as we serve? This is why 1 Peter 3:15 is important. "But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you." So as we serve in the role that God has placed us in, wherever that is, whatever that is, how high or how small that is, we need to be ready to share the message of Jesus, filling the spiritual needs of those we are helping. When the ones we are serving ask, "Why are you doing that?" we can just step through that door that they just opened and share about Jesus and what he has done in our lives and how he has served us and how he went to the cross for our sins and he has given us this free gift, and it's available to anyone. So just remember that we are all serving in some way. Remember to look at your attitude when you serve. Focus on the reason you are there serving, and that is Jesus. Galatians 6, 9, and 10, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Don't get tired of serving others. God has built it in us. Every day, we have the opportunity to serve as Jesus did. In big ways, in small ways, we have the opportunity. Are we focused on it? Are we taking that opportunity to meet physical needs and spiritual needs at the same time? Remember, we are designed to serve. God has made us in His image. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus' example of what it means to be a servant. Help us each day to serve like Jesus. Help us to give up our desires to serve you, Lord. Show us who you are and how we can serve others, showing them the love of Jesus. Reveal more of your design, how you have made us, how you created us in your image. Just watch over us, protect us, put a servant's heart in us, like the one Jesus had, and how he showed us to serve others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. We're free to choose who we serve.
Amazing grace, amazing grace.
Good morning. Just wanted to give you a little update regarding facility upgrade. I want to say thank you to all who have contributed and pledged so far. If you get a chance to take a look over on the far wall, you can see what we've raised so far on the left poster and what we've had in pledges so far on the wooden board over there. But just a couple of things to help us to keep a better accounting of what's being received and pledged. Just a couple of things. First off, if you are giving to your regular morning offerings, please use the envelopes for that, or if you contribute loose cash or checks, that's fine. But if you'd like to give something towards the facility upgrade, please use a separate envelope, mark it, facility upgrade. If it's cash, just put a little sticky note or a card inside saying who it's from. But we also would like to have the pledge cards. I know some people have come up and said, well, I know I can give a one-time gift. Wonderful. Use the pledge card, put your name, mark gift, and the amount, and we truly appreciate that. But if you come back later and say, okay, now I know how much I'd like to pledge, use another card. We will have extras here at both foyers in the very near future, or just please, if you haven't used your card yet, please do so. And the reason we do this is when we're taking the offering, we want to make sure that everything that's received for the offering goes towards our budget and the designated organization or place that money is going for. We are giving separate tax accounting statements at the end of the year, and to do so efficiently, we'd like to have those separated. If you have any specific questions, please let me know, or anyone from the fundraising committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheldon. I have two announcements. There is a corner computer desk that I took out of the office because I was rearranging things. It's in that room over there, room 3. If you would like it, you may have it. It's free. So if you want it, please take it. If not, it'll be gotten rid of. Next Sunday, we're having basket offerings for the Gideons. Mose King is going to be coming and sharing about the Gideons next Sunday, so we're going to have a basket offering for that. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Go and serve Christ with all of your hearts. You're dismissed.